maybe about some of the maybe the hashkafas and so forth of Tisha B'Av. First of all, today's Erev Tisha B'Av. Now, halacha, it says that Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to be metayel. Now, the word metayel means in English that you can't take a pleasure walk. Okay, so it's a clear halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be metayel on Erev Tisha B'Av. Now, what's the definition of metayel, as we mentioned before? I mean, somebody that's taking a walk out of fun, out of pleasure. Okay, we're talking here to boys that are beyond bar mitzvah and so forth. Any sports activities and so forth is really usher today in the afternoon, unless you're doing it to keep kids under bar mitzvah happy. Somebody, I don't think anybody wants to do it today, but if somebody, for argument's sake, is a counselor, and they need to, in a camp or so forth like that, and they need some type of activities to what to do. So, and you're the one that's, what should I say, you're keeping them busy, then you could do it. Otherwise, there are any fun activities on Erev Tisha B'Av. So if anybody has any questions on the halachic issues, I'll take it. Yes, Binyamin. Binyamin, questions?
Out of curiosity, I wasn't planning on doing it today anyhow, but what would Rebbe say about, like, let's say, trick shots? Would that fall into this category?
A fun activity should not be done unless you're doing it to entertain kids. And Allah says you shouldn't do it. Okay. Now, let's talk about, what about the Issa of Talmud Torah, Erev Tisha B'Av? And Allah says you're not allowed to learn today your regular starim on Erev Tisha B'Av. And basically, until I was around 2021, I didn't either do so. My Rabbi Rav Asher Arieli, I saw him learning his regular star in Erev Tisha B'Av. And he told me that, listen, tomorrow it's Asar Pi Halacha to learn. Today it's a Chumrah. And, you know, if people have whatever say that they usually do, if they're not going to learn their regular star, and what's going to happen is, Pi Halacha says, person doesn't have a Cheshach learn, we all know the story of Kamsa by Kamsa. And they're not going to learn if I don't learn Gemara, Halacha, Chumash, and so forth. You're not going to do it with your whole strength and so forth. You're going to waste time, then you can keep your regular Seder. So if somebody has a Chavrusa or so forth every day, or somebody listens to the Shir every day or so forth, and you feel if you're not going to learn today in the afternoon, what's going to happen is you're just going to waste time and be sitting on your phone. You're allowed to learn on Tisha. Now, you're allowed to learn today in the afternoon. Tomorrow it's Asar Pi Halacha to learn. Tomorrow it's Asar Pi Halacha to learn. There are two Heterim, which I'll just talk about what the Heterim exist. Number one, there's a story about the Ragachava. I just want to say over the story but the story is misquoted. They say that the Ragachava said, the Ragachava learned on Tisha B'Av. If they ask them, Rebbe, it says Asar to learn on Tisha B'Av. So the Ragachava said he wants to see how the Gehenim looks for learning on Tisha B'Av. That's how everybody says the story. The story really, as far as I'm concerned, is very difficult to understand because you will go to Gehenna for learning on Tisha B'Av. There is a Yerushalmi that says that somebody that's an addict, and I don't think any of us here are in that category, somebody that's an addict and go out of his mind without learning during Avelos, he's allowed to learn during Avelos. The Ragajah felt that he was Lohot. There's a Loh Dacha Tamudah, it's a Lashon of Yerushalmi, that if you're an addict, you could learn on Tisha B'Av. I don't believe anybody here is an addict, but if they're not going to learn on Tisha B'Av, what's going to happen is you're going to go out of your mind. Now, just one thing which I do want to mention. It is a known fact that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that, let's say, tomorrow, most people don't eat at least till around the early zmanim for tomorrow range between 37 minutes after the Shkia till 72 minutes after the Shkia. Depends what you believe, but you know which group you belong to. That's a hard question to answer when the time is over. It depends on what you hold in general when day is over. Rav Moshe Feinstein learned tomorrow 20 minutes after the Shkia. Rav Moshe Feinstein took out his regular Gemara and learned regularly because he felt that if it's already been Ashmashis, so to be Mavapal, your regular Siddharm of learning, he didn't feel it was correct. So those that are going to be in Shul anyways tomorrow, 20 minutes after the Shkia, you'll be waiting for Mayriv or something like that, but you're davening at home because due to the situation. From 20 minutes after Shkia tomorrow, according to Ramesh Aldi, you could learn your regular star. So let's go through a few things here with Sudas HaMasekas, which the Olam forgets. And this is a halacha, which every year when I teach in camp, I believe the boys are confused with it. So I just want to make sure the oilam is correct, you know, gets this correctly. The supper and the suda mafsekas. The supper, you can eat whatever you want. You want to eat, I mean, you can have fleshix once you go into a bris or a siyam today or a pinyan aben. The supper, you can have fish and you can have noodles and you can have egg parmesan, pizza, etc. That should be eaten likat chila before mincha. Okay, you should see. After mincha, you should eat suda mafsekas. Suda mafsekas has to be a simple meal. Okay? Yeah, after your question. What? I can't hear what you're saying.
Does it make a difference if you daven mincha gedola?
If you daven mincha gedola, the answer is that if you daven mincha gedola, then you can still have supper. I'm talking about when you shav. Let's say you daven mincha gedola. Today mincha gedola is around. I don't have a calendar, but I imagine around 1:35 is mincha gedola. Correct? Chatzis is 1:04, so usually the rule is a half hour if the chatzis is mincha. You'll daven mincha today 1:35. Let's say you daven mincha today 1:35. For argument's sake. You can have whatever you want, but the suda mafsekas has to be a simple meal, which we'll talk about in a minute. Remember, you can't or your supper should now. If somebody is, let's say for example, my where I am with davening mincha 6:45. So in my house we're having supper 6:00. 6:45 is mincha after with the suda mafsekas. Okay, now. Let's talk about some of the halachas of suda mafsekas. First of all, suda mafsekas, you have to eat on the floor. Okay, that's clear. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch, you have to eat on the floor. And if you want to, you could put if somebody is older and so forth, it's difficult, you could put a pillow, or you could put you can sit on a low chair like you sit on Tisha B'Av. Because that's the first thing about suda mafsekas, you do not have to take off your shoes. That's what the view of the Mishnah Berurah is. There are those that say you should take off your shoes, but lamaisa the minute is that you don't take off your shoes by suda mafsekas. Now listen carefully. Suda mafsekas has to be eaten before shkia. Of course, there's no question about this. If there's time till shkia, you could still sit on a chair. It's only during suda mafsekas that you have to sit on low. Women as well, and even children that are the age of chinuch, should be eating suda mafsekas on the floor and so forth, unless it's difficult for them or so forth. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch it says that by suda mafsekas, you're only not layechel adam beis tavshilon. It's actually a gemara in Megillah and a gemara in Tainis. That means suda mafsekas has to be a simple meal. Now, what's the difference of a simple meal? You can't eat two cooked things. Now, we generally have a minhag, which is quoted by the Paiskim, about eating bread with eggs. That's a suda sabelus. Okay? Bread is baked. Eggs are cooked. Now, once you have bread which is baked is not considered to be part of the cooked things. The egg is cooked. Now, if somebody wants to have by the suda mafsekas, for example, melon or people like to have watermelon or cantaloupe or honeydew, which that seems to have, they say there's an excess amount of water which it gives off, that's 100% mutter, because watermelon, all of that isn't cooked. Halacha, it says that you're supposed to dip in, this is quoted by the Rama, people forget about this, it's a Rama, and it's a Rama, and as well, It's a Ramah that you're supposed to dip in the egg into ashes. And you're supposed to say, Zehu Sudas Tisha B'Av. That's what it says in the Ramah. Now, in regard to if somebody wants to smear something on the bread, that's 100% fine. If somebody wants to smear butter or peanut butter or something like that on the bread, that is not considered to be another... That is not considered to be another baked item, okay? That's considered that what you're just doing is you want to have something like to enhance the taste of the bread. That's 100% mutter. Now, coffee or tea or so forth like that is not considered. I mean, I wouldn't suggest you drink coffee because they're probably you're gonna be thirsty. But if you want to drink coffee, that's coffee for sure. Is mutter or tea, it's not considered to be a tafshel. A tavshil means a cooked food, not a liquid that's cooked. Somebody wants to have a hot chocolate or something like that. It's 100% mutter. Now, the custom is that the egg should be a hard-boiled egg and not a soft-boiled egg. Fish should not be eaten by Suda Mafsekas. Somebody wants to have supper, as we mentioned before, the supper and the Suda Mafsekas. 6 o'clock, he'll have supper. Then what he wants to do is he wants to have, one is tapshilim, even though the minig is eggs, he's going to have fish. Fish, it says, should not be eaten by the Suda Mafsekas. But remember, please don't confuse Suda Mafsekas of Erev Yom Kippur, which is a happy day, to Erev Tisha B'Av, which is a sad day. Fish, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a mechaber, you should not eat fish. Because fish is considered to be something which is substituted for meat. Okay, those that have headaches or are addicted to caffeine, you're allowed to take pills and drops and all of that in order that it should take away, what should I say, the pain of the tinnitus. If, again, it's not relevant this year, if Tisha B'Av comes out to be on Sunday, that's already a machlokes if you could take it on Shabbos. First of all, you have a problem that it's achan, it's preparation. Number two, you have an issue that you can't take medication on Shabbos. That's not so simple what to do. It's not relevant this year, so we won't discuss this. And something to remember, if you eat the Suda Mafsekas, it says in the Ramah, let's say for argument's sake, you wash at 7:30. Okay, you bench. So the first thing I want you to remember is, I don't know if it's, I see, I'm looking at Eitan, for Binyamin, this is halacha, is not relevant. For me and my father, it's not relevant because I know the boys at home. Akiva, for you, it's relevant. For Jacob, it might be relevant. I don't know if you have any boys, Effie, not sure if you have any boys on the bar mitzvah here. You're not supposed to make yourself chayiv and zimun. You're not supposed to be mezami. Okay? So if somebody has three males at home, okay, it's relevant here for, as far as I know, at least for two, maybe, I know, and looking at the crowd, knowing what else they have, so you should make, if you have three males at home, you should make sure to sit and eat in different corners. You shouldn't be mezamein, because mezamein always is the idea that we celebrate, and let's go, we're going to bench together, right? We're going to bench together and make and we have like a joint meal. So this smafsekas should not be done like a joint party. Now, somebody that ate Suda Mafsekas, this you have to remember, it says, let's say 7:30, can't yet. You finished eating, you bench. You're still hungry. You should say clearly that you don't want to start the tinnitus. Because just like by Yom Kippur, by the way, there is a mitzvah of tinnitus tinnitus. There is a mitzvah of tinnitus tinnitus by Tisha B'Av, the Ram says. Since Tisha B'Av is treated as a deraisa, because it's midivrei Nevi'im, the other tinnitusim, I don't want to get into the whole discussion, even on the institution of the Nevi'im, but the Gemara says that really it's only a minute that we pass the Tavit HaNesim. Okay? Tisha B'Av is considered to be as chum as a deraisa. So if today when you get up from the Shkia, where I am, is 8:19. I think in New York it's probably around 8:16. Please look it up on your phone or something like that when it is. You could still eat. Right? But you should say you don't want to start the tinnitus right away. Any questions on the previous halachas we spoke about before we go further? Okay, let's talk about some halachas which get negated this year because Tisha B'Av is Thursday. The fact that Tisha B'Av is Thursday, there are some halachas which are a little bit relevant. So let's start with the first thing. Is a woman allowed to, first of all, on Tisha B'Av during the day, is a woman allowed to cook? For Shabbos, you can't do anything else anyways. As we're going to go through that in a second, can a woman cook for Shabbos on Thursday? Okay, so there's a contemporary pasuk which said something which I really don't understand. I'll tell you what he based it on. He says there's a halacha that says that you're allowed to shech. You know, generally, first of all, let's go through the background. You know, you're not supposed to eat meat in the 9 days. You're not supposed to shech during the 9 days. So during the summer, I have the, I spend my summer with somebody that actually owns the biggest kosher slaughterhouse in America. He owns Meal Mart. A lot of the meat comes from there. And they shecht the whole 9 days, and they shecht the Mari of the Chatzais as well. I asked him, what do you mean? The Ramah says he's supposed to put away the knife. So he told me that today there's only 2 to 3 kosher slaughterhouses in America that check animal meat. We will not check the whole 9 days, and we will not check on Tisha B'Av you will not have meat for Yom Tov. There will not be enough meat for the Sukkos. And right after Tisha B'Av, remember, the Chasan season starts, at least in a regular year. So they do shecht during the 9 days, and they even shecht tomorrow if the Chatzos, which is really against the Ramah, they're not supposed to do so. But they have a Perim, as we spoke before. Now, it says in the Paiskim that, remember the little city in Europe, you were able to shecht if Thursday is Tisha B'Av for Shabbos, because otherwise you won't have fresh meat for Shabbos. So some contemporary Paisik want to say, if that's the case, a woman is allowed to cook on Thursday for Shabbos. I'll take Jake's question in a second. I take issue with that because shechting and preparing something is a long process. I don't believe, if somebody tells me, and this is something which if somebody's mother, for argument's sake, bakes challah, bakes cake for Shabbos, and she starts on a regular Thursday and otherwise will not be ready for Shabbos, you are allowed to cook on Tisha B'Av. Otherwise, to say the comparison to Shechita is really a very, very tough comparison, which I personally don't understand. If you don't eat the batashos, you don't eat the meat. Is it mutter to eat the meat when, Jake? During the 9 days, or can you clarify your question? Jake, I understand your question. In the 9 days, no, you should give it to a non. That's a real, or give it to a Sfardim. Sfardim eat meat till Shavuot Shechalboy. Right, you know, that according to Sephardi tradition, they were able to eat meat till this past Thursday. Ashkenazim started from Rosh Chodesh. Now, what about in order to take a haircut, a shave, or so forth? Usually, you have to wait till Yud Ba'av by Chatzais. That means usually you have to wait till Asar Ba'av, which is Friday by Chatzais. Are you allowed to do this tomorrow night? So, again, if somebody wants to take a haircut tomorrow night, if somebody wants to take a shave, if you will not shave for Shabbos afterwards, it's a gift for you. You will only be shaving tomorrow night. There's 100% mutter to take a shave tomorrow night. Remember, but you can't take another one Friday. If you're saying that the shave that you want is going to be Thursday night, you don't have to wait for Friday for Friday day. Now, in regard to doing the laundry and so forth. Here there's a difference of opinion if you are allowed to do it at night already, or you have to wait till Friday day when it turns day. So if somebody has a family with children and so forth, and you're not going to have everything ready, you can already do the laundry tomorrow night. Otherwise, if somebody doesn't have many members in their family home, it's preferably that you should do it. You should do it Friday morning. Now, music should not be listened to till Friday by Chatzais, as well as swimming should not be done till Friday after Chatzais. All these heterim are only heterim, which we find in regard to things that you need for Shabbos. You don't need to listen to music on Thursday afternoon, on Thursday night to get ready for Shabbos. Well, everything else basically should be kept till Till Friday. Everything else should be kept till Friday by Chatzais. As I mentioned before, haircuts, and as well, if there are barbers that are open in your neighborhood tomorrow night, it's 100% mutter it's 100% mutter to go take a haircut Thursday night, because nobody that's going to take a haircut Thursday night is going to take another one on Friday. So you take one for Shabbos. Yes, yeah, so if you have a barber that's open tomorrow night after the Zman, you can take a haircut. Okay, another thing which I think people forget. Tomorrow night, right before you daven Mayru, or as soon as the Tainus is over, the first thing you have to do is you have to wash your hands correctly. On Tisha B'Av, we only wash our hands until the first third of the hand, right, by the knuckles. You weren't able to do Nagel Vasa correctly and wash your hands for davening. Or even if you come out of the bathroom tomorrow, you can only wash your hands with the knuckle. The first thing you have to do tomorrow night is you have to wash your hands. Now, there's also a there is also two issues which I wanted to talk about, particularly relevant for this year. There is a psak that came out from Durabanim, from Heschel Shechter, and from Meich Isaac Obam in Queens. Those that are going out to shul and so forth, and they want to wash their hands with alcohol to sanitize them. So they write that if somebody is careful with all the rules of what the health department gave about regarding wearing masks in public, and they're careful in regard to whenever they come in, they always sanitize their hands. If you have to go out tomorrow for some reason, you're going to shul or maybe you're going to take care of something, even though Tisha B'Av generally you cannot use soap or alcohol, you can sanitize your hands with alcohol. Now, cosmetics and all of that, of course, you cannot use Tisha B'Av. Deodorant is mutter. It says in the Poskim that if you're living in Mekayim Sacham Achamim. Now, this week in New York City or New York State clearly has a din of Mekayim Sacham. Ramesha writes that you could use deodorant, that there's no issue. Now, there is a machlekes apaiskim between the Arizal and the Mishnah Berurah. Quotes other paiskim as well, because Mishnah Berurah and I were arguing Arizal. Mishnah Berurah only was 60 years ago, but he quotes from others. What about the bracha of Sha'asali called Tzarki? The bracha of Sha'asali called Tzarki is a bracha that you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the ability that you have protection on your feet. You're wearing shoes. So, question is, do you make a bracha of Sha'asali called Tzarki on Tisha B'Av? Some people skip it, and they first make it at night when they put on regular shoes. Okay, so you could, I don't remember clearly what the achra is, but look it up, and I don't remember what the minhag ha'olam is, I don't remember. I followed Arizal, and Arizal said Sha'asali called Tzarki in the morning, because he translates the word Sha'asali called Tzarki, that gave me all my needs, and it's not necessarily going on shoes. I think the Gaon says you're not supposed to make a bracha of Sha'asli called Tzarki till tomorrow night. Another halacha which I want to mention, and the Olam forgets this, tomorrow night, you should not say Kiddush Levana, number one, till you eat, number one, two, till you change your shoes. It's a mitzvah, unless if you, by the way, the gross that Kiddush Levana 3 days and off. The Gra said Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av. Anybody that's been young, and I know you're a grandchild of the Gra, I don't know if you follow everything like the Gra. The Gra said Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av. Most of the, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, they accept the custom, unless somebody's a real Granik, you know, he has two matzahs by a Seder, he's a real Granik, he does everything like the Gra, you know, did not say Kiddush Levana until after Tisha B'Av. You should not say Kiddush Levana number one until you eat, okay? Because otherwise you're just saying it Shema Plot. And also you have to put on your shoes. Yom Kippur you don't have to. Yom Kippur you can do it even when you're fasting, even when you don't put on your shoes, because it's not a sign of avails. You're not supposed to come to Kiddush Levana a sign of avails. If somebody posed the question, let me see what it says here. You can say Kiddush Levana more than once a month. No, you can say Kiddush Levana only once. Our custom is we wait, somebody posted a question about him. We wait for Kiddush Levana to lift the Tisha B'Av, correct? The Gra didn't even before Tisha B'Av. If you are not from the Amelia Gra, and you do Kiddush Levana Matzei Tisha B'Av, first of all, you're supposed to eat, and number two, you're supposed to change your shoes. Okay, tomorrow Pidin is something to remember. Sicha and Tzchaik is Asa Pidin. Okay, that means for somebody to sit and to socialize and to sit and, you know, and spend hours upon hours on his phone and sitting and socializing, it's us al pidin. Just like imagine when you walk into an uncle's house, let me see what it says, Effie Klein sent the question, wait to do Kiddush Levana after dinner, because it says that when you, somebody asked the questions, why do we wait till after Tisha B'Av? Because it says when you're, it's Kabbalah Smei Hashchina, you're greeting the Shechina. So he says we don't want that everybody should go be greeting the Shechina by Kiddush Levana when everybody's in a sad mood. If Tisha B'Av, you're in a better mood, so we want at that point you should do Kiddush Levana. Okay, now, tomorrow I'll be din, and I spoke to us, we have like a chavrus of you guys at night. This is probably the hardest din of Tisha B'Av, which everybody finds it difficult. Now, what in the world are you supposed to do a whole day? Which, that's very difficult. So the first thing, I know everybody goes to sleep tomorrow. I just want to be over one thing. If you go to sleep tomorrow, before you put on tefillin, you don't wear tefillin in the morning, you're not allowed to go to sleep unless you appoint a shomer. You're missing a mitzvah. Let's say somebody finishes, go to sleep 12 o'clock. He still didn't put on tefillin. So that's why it's kedai. If you know that's why it's kedai. Either to daven mincha gedayla, you can daven mincha gedayla tomorrow at whatever, 1:45. Or if you don't daven mincha gedayla, you have to ask somebody to be your shomer. So that means you have to ask someone to remind you. You're missing a mitzvah deraisa of tefillin. Either ask your mother, you tell your mother, it's your job to remind you that I have to put on tefillin today. Or you have to put a reminder on your phone, right? You have to put a reminder on your phone that to wake you, you can't oversleep tomorrow's man tefillin. Okay, now, the hardest thing about tishah, which I do find, there is an issa which I struggle with personally. We mentioned this yesterday by our chavrusa time we had. There is an issa of sicha and schaip tomorrow. There's an issa to do things which is one of, what should I say, a fun kind of manner. Now, I don't think, you know what, I'll give you this marshal which I give. I have yet to see it. Imagine you walked into an uncle's house and everybody's watching TV. You would say they're crazy. The assumption would be they probably hated their relative, right? Somebody to sit and spend countless hours of being on the phone and watching sports games on Tisha B'Av, it's asal pidin. Now, what could you do? So you're not supposed to be masiach das from the avelus. You're not supposed to let your mind slip from the avelus. What can you do? Again, so you're supposed to learn the Dvar Ma'ara. Tomorrow you're supposed to learn Dvar Ma'ara. You're supposed to learn bad things that now. Let me just see what somebody is spending hours doing. That us every day, that's true. But, you know, every day if a person needs to chill out and they want to watch something, that's fine. A person can, you're allowed to chill out. They're spending pointless hours doing nothing. Yeah, this isn't a waste of time. However, Tisha B'Av, sit for countless hours and being on your phone just is also bidden. You're really supposed to be learning Dvar Ma'ara. So, what's Dvar Ma'ara? I want to give you a couple of suggestions to do. I'll give what you can do. I mentioned this last week by the Chumash here. You can Google online. There's beautiful stories about your Michal Bev Eismandel's WEISMANDL, Michal Bev. You can Google it. You can read his memoirs. You'll be touched to the what really happened. The Spanish Inquisition, etc., anything of Jewish history. Today, as I was writing down to prepare a share, I just thought of a new topic. Reading the numbers of how Corona is affecting the Jews in Eretz Yisrael is clearly Dvar Ma'ara. It's supposed to be a bad thing. You look at how many Yidden are dying and so forth. Yeah, that's Dvar Ma'ara. That's something which is included in Dvar Ma'ara, which is to mention. I just want to finish off with two things to remember. So, with a sort of two nice ideas, which I'd like to finish off with. I once heard from Shimshon Pinkas, he's a big thinker, he has a lot of interesting ideas. He said something which is a Maridika thing. So whenever somebody goes to a Levaya, who are the people that are crying? You see as follows. You see somebody that works in the chapel, he's not crying. Who are the people that are, you let him do a homework on Tisha B'Av. So there was a question that was posted. So the halakha is, you're allowed to do something which is a dover or oven. That means to say, somebody allowed to have a store open tomorrow. Really, up to you, you're not supposed to have a store open. The only store that was supposed to be open tomorrow is only a pharmacy, or a food store. Now, it does say that if you're going to have a dover or oven, you're going to have a substantial loss, you could be open. So regarding to that question, which was asked on the chat, if somebody's in college now in the summer, my high school boys, that doesn't apply because nobody has homework. Not a whole year, I'm sure, in Kal Chaim, not on Tisha B'Av. But if you're in YU in the summer and you have something about pushing of Tisha B'Av, homework of Tisha B'Av is wrong, somebody asks us. Somebody which is in college and it's a dover of it, the argument is like, if you won't get a good grade and he has a project due, you're allowed to do it after Chatzos. Probably better to do that than to do anything else. I just want to finish off with two Ashkopic ideas to remember. Shimshon Pinkas used to say as follows. If you go to a Levaya, the hearse driver, the director, is not crying. who are the ones usually crying? Who are the ones that are sad? Who are the ones that take it emotionally to heart? It's usually either children, the siblings, and the close friends and so forth. Otherwise, everybody else, they don't relate to it. So he said that somebody that goes to Tisha B'Av and he's not sad about it. So he's like a stranger by a Levaya. You can't, a person has to look at it that he's by a family funeral, which is devastating. That's the idea of what Tisha B'Av is supposed to look at. So I just want to say two other little ideas in regard to this. If anybody knows, in the late 1800s, it was the Gezerah of the Cantonists. So if everybody isn't, those that aren't familiar, the Cantonists were, and the Russian Tsar used to take children and random, especially Jewish children, and they figured this was an easy way to shma them. You know, what they would do is they would take them to the army when they were younger, then unfortunately they would just be, they would go off the derech. So while they were being taken to the Tsar, while they were taken to the army, there were a bunch of kids there that said, let's take the Tehillim. And problem was, the kid said, I can't remember any Tehillim by heart. So the kid said, so how are we going to do this? The story was settled by the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim was sons of Rav. So he said, so one of the kids said, you know what, Rabbi Sai, let's at least say the niggun of what, you know, Tehillim is said in Yoshia, however, which Yoshia, you know, we all know the tune of how Tehillim is said. So he told them, you know, so they said it with the tune of the way Tehillim is said. So the Divrei Chaim said that you can't cry on Tisha B'Av, at least say things with the tune of a niggun of crying, and let it bother us. So let's bother us the fact that of all the tsars cries for what through the generations. To bother us all the tsars of Klai Yisrael. Also, somebody asked the question, what peruk am I cutting? Can one learn on the Tisha B'Av? It's the third peruk, within the third peruk of Avelis. And you know what? And the Kaddish Baruch Hu should help. That we should really, really mean it. That it should be all the halachas that we spoke about last year should be we spoke about this year, that Erev Tisha B'Av should be irrelevant. Remember, today by Mincha, you don't say Tachlon. It's Karol Mayed. Why is it Karol Mayed? Even though now it's a sad time, the word Mayed, the Parshim says, it's a meeting place. The different ways that we meet Hashem. Yom Tov and Mayadim, generally we meet them with happy hearts. We're meeting him here today, of course, with a sad heart, but the Navi says that Kayam Hashem, the Navi promises that Ayam Ma'il, with these days, Yahav Kul Sassan, Simcha will be turned into times of joy and gladness. The Vias by a Gayat Tzedek of the coming of the redemption from Ha'er of Yameinu Amen. I want to tell everybody to wish.